Thank you. The last couple of times I was here, I gave acrostics, but I like to try, by God's grace, to open a passage of Scripture and see some things that God has in it. If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is that mine? Wow, excuse me. I thought I put it on whatchamacallit. But I was supposed to meet someone earlier, so I did take it off of the, off of mute or whatever, or vibrate. Excuse me. That's the first time for me. I don't get calls usually. Wow, that's weird. I can't get it go down to mute now for some reason. Try one more time. Well, it went up. I don't know how to work these things. There it's finally on vibrate. Excuse me. We'd say the scoop of me. Weird. Wow. That's off. I'm not very connected to cell phones. And for me, get a phone call is not so common, especially during what we'd say church time. Wow. I don't know. Let's find out later who was trying to call. In town means so. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I was saying when I heard that sound, what I didn't know was mine, I'd like to not do this like it would be in Russian or Portuguese or English. We're going to start at the back part of the chapter, Lord willing, and go forward, almost like Chinese, where you read from the right to the left. Well, as in English and many languages that we read from the left to right, well, we're going to start at the end of the chapter and see some things that motivate Apostle Paul. I hope you, like me, I'm glad it's springtime. This is my first winter. In fact, I mentioned my last newsletter, this is my first January in the States since 1998. I've been here in February, March a few times, and in the fall, but I haven't been in America in January since 1998, and it was cold for me, for my South American turned blood, I guess you could say, even though I were born. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, we'll see what the Apostle Paul says here in God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and 2 to the verse 20, if you will, follow along. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, wow, we've been given something. Let's see what it is here. The ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed, that's said again, unto us the word of reconciliation. Then verse 20 is more known by us. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. This tells you and I, he was talking to the Corinthian church, so we could talk to the church here in Ottumwa Baptist Temple, that you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. That's a matter of trying to help people be reconciled to God, to know God and have their life change, as mentioned in the Word of God, that if we're in Christ, we're a new creature. Your pastor and I, and you as a church family, have seen people who have become a new creature, and that's a blessing, that's a joy. Even the angels sing about that, the Bible tells us. Well, you and I have this ministry, this call, and it can be used, can be done and exercised even on these visitation services you have. You and I have a commission that's received. Sometimes we have things, well, who wants to volunteer? And we see who wants to be a volunteer. Well, folks, this is a commission that's given. It's not a if you want to or maybe so or if type thing. You and I, if we're saved, we've been given a commission to help people to be reconciled to God. What a joy. What a blessing to see people who are in depravity of sin or are long away from God, or even religious but not saved, to come to know Christ as our personal Savior. What a commission you and I received. What a blessing. I don't know what they call it in Russian, but we say it's ministerije hekunsliasan. I don't think you want to try that. That's got a Cecilia and a nasal sound in there. But you and I have a ministry of reconciliation. That's what motivated Paul. He tells us here in these last verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go back a few verses, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Here it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Here we see that Paul was motivated by his love of Christ. I don't know if your pastor has seen him in Russia, but I got there in my 30s, and I opened my mouth and I speak with an accent. Our girls who were raised there and one that was born there, they speak without an accent. So people say, "Gionje Vose," that is to say, "Where are you from?" And I say, "Estados Unidos," that's the United States. And they say, "What are you doing here? We want to be where you're from." And I can tell them, the love of Christ constrains us. The good news of the gospel, to share with them that Jesus saves, amen? And the Apostle Paul tells us that he was motivated, not in the spring of 215, but in 30 AD, that he was motivated by the love of Christ. Does Christ love us? Certainly the Word of God tells us he does love us. And nothing can separate us from his love. Amen? Romans 8, 38, 39 tells us about that. Had a loving concern, Paul had here. A vital concern, a personal concern. And that's what you and I can have in this year of 215. Thirdly, verse 10, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Word of God says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he have done, whether it be good or bad." Well, folks, this is a little bit more serious. It's not the love of Christ. It's not a commission that God's given. It's saying you and I will give an account of how we used our T's, our time, our talents, our treasures. The P's, our person, our possession, and our prayer. We're going to give an account. And this motivated Apostle Paul because he knew one day he'd have to give account. Some of us work at a job, and the job might have recordings and films. Now the policemen now are supposed to be having that or trying to have that. And we're still having some complications in the United States about that. But folks, we have an accountability to God, not to the pastor, not to your someone else in the church, or someone might be watching. We have accountability to our Almighty God that gave us a life. What a serious thing. We're going to give an account. We all must appear before the judgment seat. And Paul did not want to be a castaway, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Just this past week, I was in a church and a missionary in New Guinea. I was told he had to leave the field. He became a castaway. You have church members and folks that you know that unfortunately go astray from God's will and God's way, and no longer able to be used of the Lord in the way they were being used. And Paul said he did not want to be a castaway. He wanted to give it a good account. Recently in one of our states, I think it was Georgia, they had some teachers that wanted to give a good account of their students in the Atlanta area, but they told lies. And it came about, and some of them are supposed to even go to prison because of that. So remember, you and I have the serious challenge that motivated Paul that we will give an account. And I hope you, like myself, you want to give a good account and be able to say here, said of you, that you are a faithful servant. Fourthly, after three comes four, doesn't it? That's right, yeah. I learned that here in Iowa in grade school, in fact, not just high school, but that algebra was not easy for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. What a verse. In some ways we could say it keeps getting better, and we're even doing it backwards tonight. To please God. That was Apostle Paul's desire. Not to please man, not to please this person or that person. He was motivated by his desire to please God, that we be accepted of him. This captured and captivated Apostle Paul. Wanted to please God. One time, I was in Bible college, and another Iowa boy and I got one of those kind of day jobs while we were in Bible college to unload some train cars of salt. And that other fellow from Iowa, he wasn't raised by the same parents as I was. He tried to do more to get out of work, or to leave the car, the train car. He took so many breaks, I saw more out of the car than inside. And I was working, trying to do the job of unloading that salt, sacks of salt. May have come from Brazil. We have salt in parts of our area of Brazil that's sold around the world, along with a lot of other products. But folks, you and I should have and be motivated by this desire to please God in 2:15. To do what pleases him. In whatever way, and I was in this church in watch night services and youth meetings and revival meetings and youth camp with this church, and God spoke to my heart at various times. And I was called and felt the call to go into full-time service and went away to Bible College because of what I heard in this church and the youth meetings and camps that we were involved with. I wanted to please God. It wasn't easy, and there was temptations, but by God's grace, we're still at it, and you can too. Paul was motivated by his desire to please God. A lot of people want to please themselves nowadays. I want to do what pleases me, yeah. That's what a lot of people, and that shouldn't be out. We should desire to please God. Let's go to the next, and it would be the fifth point I have here in the short points. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Here the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church in the second letter that we have here. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What motivated Apostle Paul was his faith in God. Not faith in man. Boy, you can't have faith in the government. Look what happened when we mentioned there in Brazil. We need to have our faith in God. Amen? Faith fully in God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we need to be, as that acrostic for faith, forsaking all impossibilities, trust him. Sixthly, and lastly, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. For we know that if our earthly house, so this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan and earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Paul was motivated by his confidence in heaven, a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I can remember some of the speakers in watch night services here and some of the folks that attended. Some of them are not here now because they're already in glory. They have walked their walk of faith. They have done what motivated even Paul, church members that some of you know, that I've known, from here and from where I grew up in Bloomfield, who are in heaven now. And the Apostle Paul, in his lifetime, he was motivated by his confidence of heaven. Paul knew that the future had a direct motivation how he lived. And sometimes we get so earthly minded that we're not heavenly minded like we ought to be. We can't live just thinking about heaven. We have to do our daily things, but we should be heavenly minded. I think the problem with more people is to be earthly minded than to be so heavenly minded. I would say that would be more the problem. I have in my notes here, I have a poem by John R. Rice about that. Let's see if I can find it. This, of course, was written several years ago. John R. Rice wrote, "Remembering in heaven, should I up in heaven remember the heartache or the pain and the cross or the shame and the loss, the reproach of the Savior had borne in this conflict, and heaven, I'd laugh at the cost." Another verse of it, "If I, on the golden streets, I think of earth's treasures, of the things I'd bought, of the fame dearly sought, I'd smile in my gem-studded mansion, and heaven, I'd smile, they are not. Should I, in glory, remember a loved one who walked by my side but is lost and outside, if I never begged him to trust the Savior in heaven, I'd sit down and cry." And he concludes with, "Oh, then spread the message, the work he's given. Never mind the world's praise, nor possessions that men crave. But oh, for the Savior, bring souls into heaven and joy through eternity's day." Paul was motivated by this commission received. The love of Christ constrained him. His accountability in the judgment seat motivated him. Desire to please God. His faith in God motivated him. His confidence in heaven. "This world is not my home," the song says, "I'm just passing through." Yeah. I was listening to some good gospel music on the way up here. Good music like what your choir sings and the specials here. And thinking about heaven, you know, some of us have more folk already in heaven than we have here on earth. I was at a funeral recently, in fact, a lady from Iowa who gave many years of her life in Brazil called Mrs. Barton. And some of the people that I work with, national pastors, were saved under her and her husband, Dale Barton's ministry. Some of you might know them from the Mount Pleasant area. She died at 96. Her last few years after a stroke were in a nursing home. But there's folks in heaven, and she's in heaven. And a lot of Brazil's an old mission field compared to Russia. We had more liberty there than what Russia has had, been a closed field for many decades. But we need to have the confidence in a heaven that the Lord has prepared for us and to share with others what heaven will be. Paul was motivated by these things. What motivates you? Hopefully, 2 Corinthians 5 is a blessing and can help you. Preacher, come ahead.
A ministry of reconciliation. So what's your ministry? What ministry do you have? I have the ministry of reconciliation. And God's given that ministry to all of us. It doesn't matter. You know, we have multiple.